so I can see about where they're spending money. He said, I will never buy anything more than what they buy. But some people got greedy eyes, and they're not faithful. I ain't even got into this. I'm still in the introduction here. My Lord. I thought I was going to just breeze through this in 20 minutes. But y'all are working me. Listen. Why is this message important? I'm going to close. We're not really going to even get to the meat of what I want to talk to you about today. But unfaithfulness is a blessing blocker. When you believe in God for great things, and if you're not, and if the devil can move you into a place where you're not faithful, then the blessing that God wants to bring into your life will be cut off. Not by God, but by your own actions. See, God requires faithfulness. And when he finds a faithful person, he lavishes them with blessings. So it seems to me that we ought to be like, man, so how can I be more faithful to God? How can I be more faithful to God? Because I know God loves me. I know he's playing good, and I want to please him, and I want to do his will. And I want to hear. I mean, y'all know them seven words you want to hear. Well done, what? What kind of servant? Good and what?
Faithful
servant. Faithful servant. Faithful servant. Good and what?
Faithful.
Everybody not going to hear well done. Because they haven't been good stewards, and they haven't been faithful to God. It means that they are disloyal. And let me tell you another thing. Unfaithfulness is an indication that you have a divided heart, that you have two masters, and you're trying to serve both of them. You got a divided heart. Your heart's divided, split, which means you have disloyalty there. Because Jesus said, you're going to love one and hate the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. He said, you can't serve two masters. And yet people try to do it every day. Your heart can't be divided. Because if it is, sometimes you're going to lean toward God, sometimes you're going to lean toward the flesh. And you got two minds, you got two visions, you got two masters. And you're trying to accommodate both of them. You're trying to have the best of both worlds. Trying to have the best that's in the kingdom and the best that's in the world. And let me tell you, and they don't mix. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You have to be single when you come to faithfulness. God have to have your whole heart. He don't want a piece of your heart.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all. A
higher standard than the world's standard, which means that the world may not always like us because of who we are and whose we are. And so we need to recognize that we've got some folk pulling for us in heaven while there's some folk pushing against us on earth. We've got to remember that there are some people cheering for us in heaven while there's some folk talking down on us on earth. What we've got to remember is there are some people who are watching us, who believe in us, because they too have been where we are, but we have not been where they are. And they're trying to help us in every sense of the word understand that this is attainable. We can do it. We can reach it. Why? Because of who we are and how God has given to us everything necessary to be victors. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through some things. Doesn't mean things are not going to happen to us. Doesn't mean that the world is not going to come against us. Absolutely, all of those things are going to happen. But the world does not control us. And so one of the things that you'll note is the witnesses here, as the writer of the Hebrew is sharing with us, is also giving us an opportunity to know that there is somebody watching you. I want to say this to you, and I want you to be cognizant of this every day, every way, everywhere. Somebody is watching you. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. Somebody is watching. You might not think folk are watching you. They might not let you see them watching you. But everywhere you go, people are watching you. In the grocery store, they're watching you. On your jobs, they're watching you. They're looking at the clock. They're making sure you're on time. You take your break. You come back on time. They're making sure you do different. They are watching you. Listen, what is the purpose for watching you? To see if you are who you say you are. And so they're watching you in your dealings. They're watching you in your feelings. They're watching you in your relationships. They're watching you in every conceivable way possible. And if you say you are all of that, then there ought to be some sign. There are witnesses who can say, I see. But there are witnesses down here on earth who also can say, I don't see. And we need to be cognizant of that. Second thing is, he gives us a warning. Because he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now let's spend a moment here because it's a warning. And if it's a warning, it is to make you aware of the fact that there is a danger. Every now and then when my television is on, whether I'm watching or not, there's a emergency broadcast signal that comes across my television. And wherever I am, I know it's a warning. It may be just a test, but it's a warning. And then they tell me, if this had actually been an emergency, you would have been given information to tune into this, that, the other, et cetera, et cetera. But here is the point. They just want you to get to the point where you acknowledge the warning. You see, because if you stop acknowledging the warning, you walk right on in the danger. Did you hear what I just said? You see, when you get to the point where people can't warn you no more, When you're that seared, when you get to that point where you are so insensitive to warnings, then you are headed straight for destruction, because warnings are there to help you understand that there is impending danger ahead. And so we are being warned here when he says, let us lay aside every weight. And let's start there, because here when they talk about the race, it puts you in mind of the Olympian racers and performers, those who have perfected their art and their skill and their abilities. And these were people who gave the best they had in preparation to bring about the best performance come game day. And what runners would do is they would put on various weights to give, to add resistance to their training, for three reasons. One, for strength. Two, for stamina. And three, for speed. And so the varying size weights would be on so that they could accomplish all of these three different arenas to make them a better person come game day. When game day came, they would take off all of the weights and their legs would feel as light as a feather. And what they were able to do when they had all of those weights on them, they're able to do much better now with all of those weights off of them. No athlete ever ran game day with weights on. They recognize one sure way to lose a race is to have weights on game day. So here the warning is, you can train with weights, but you need to know the weights that you have. And you need to know the purpose of those weights. Now listen at this. Now these weights, again, were the positive side of weights. But there is another side of the weights that we need to examine. And this is talking about the weights as in those bad things that are weights to us. Bad things that are heavy weighing on us. Bad things that hold us back and cause resistance to us because we know they're not right, but yet we still do them. And they are part of our daily life, our existence, and yet we try to pretend like we're not weighted down, when if you could see in the spirit realm all the weights that's on some of you folk, it's amazing how you make it through a day. No reason why you're so depressed, because you're all weighted down in the spirit realm. When you look at all of the stuff you've got on you, all the immoral things, all of the things that you have done, participated in, added to, been a part of, those are weights that attach themselves to you. And the problem is, come Sunday morning, you haven't gotten them weights off of you. So come game day, you come up in here, no wonder you can't shout, can't lift holy hands, can't rejoice, can't pray. Y'all can get mad with me if you want, but I'm telling you the truth. And so you can't give God the praise because you're too weighted down. And those weights keep you from the presence of God. You're too heavy. You can't rejoice. Can't smile. Can't have joy. Don't have peace because you're weighed down. And the bad thing about it is, even on game day, on Sunday morning, you're right in the place where you could have all of those weights taken off, and yet you leave church with the weight still on you. Now look at this. And it says, and the sin. Now all of us have sins. But there is a sin that's called the sin. And the sin is your sin that's an addiction to you. It is a sin that's a major problem to you. It's a sin that you, it's your kryptonite if you're Superman. It's whatever that is that you can't handle, that's your sin. And again, most of us don't need to act like we ain't got the sin. Oh, because somebody know the sin. Some matter of fact, they know how to press your button. Let me make it mad right quick. Watch. They know your sin so good that they know how to set you off anytime they want. Because you've lost control over the sin, and the sin has control over you. You can be right in the house of the Lord and fool around and speak in another tongue. And it ain't got nothing to do with holiness. Nor the Holy Ghost. The sin. Whatever the sin is, for everybody, it's something different. But here's what I love about the writer who makes it clear. He puts it in all of our backyard. In other words, he says, preacher, you don't need to act like you ain't got the sin. And deacons, you ain't got to act like you ain't got the sin. Choirs, while you're singing, you ain't got to act like you ain't got the sin. Members, while you sitting out there saying amen, you ain't got to act like you ain't got the sin. In other words, everybody has the sin that doth so easily beset us. Now you think about this, because what this literally means is, and how many of us will be honest enough to say, You know, if you don't have a weakness to drink it, they can set drinks up all around you. Got no problem. You don't have no issue with smoking or doing drugs. That don't even bother you. But put chocolate cake in front of you. You start salivating and and I'm just trying to say, whatever your sin is, whatever, you are right until, well, let me tell you, like the old preacher said, he was preaching one Sunday and he was calling off all the sins, and that was his one sister in the corner who, she was the amen for the preacher. She just said, step on the puppy dog tail, preacher. Step on the dog, puppy dog tail. And that means to get down on it. And they say, yeah, and all you liars, say that. And all you backbiters, tell him, Rev. And everything he would say, she was, oh, he said, and one day he said, and all you snuffed him, he done stopped preaching and gone to meddling. Because he finally touched on her sin. That was the sin for her. Snuff dipping. I'm just telling you, you all right till they get to your sin. Then you start acting funny then. You can't say amen then when they get to your sin. Long as it's on somebody else's street, long as it's talked about somebody else's weakness, you good with that. But I'm going to get to your sin. Start talking about he picking, he meddling. Somebody been talking my business. Yeah, how about the Holy Ghost who knows it? So listen at this, and I'm going to hurry up and close this because I can see I ain't got much help today. Every weight, the good and the bad, if it's a weight, lay it aside. And the sin. Now listen to this. All sins don't easily beset you. All sins don't get you thrown off the track. All sins don't mess you up like that. All sins don't turn you around. All sins don't mess up your home. All sins don't make you lose your mind. All sins don't make you do all of the things that you should not do. But the sin does. And he says, lay it aside. Why? Because it doth, which doth so easily. See it. You on your way. You in the race. You doing good. And you look over and see your sin and mess you up. You would do. You know how that is. Somebody walks in the room. You do. Oh, yeah. Somebody. Speak of the devil. Well, what's wrong? Make me sick. It's so easily beset you. You were doing good. High on cloud nine. Until you see the sin. And it so easily beset you. One preacher was having such a hallelujah time. He had an out-of-body experience. He said he believed that he had been taken out of his body and brought to heaven. He said they were having a wonderful time till he saw somebody in heaven that shouldn't have been there. He said he came back to earth right quick. Now that easily besets us and messes up what we have. Listen, because it's our sin. Not the person that walked in us. So listen at this. When it says that doth so easily, I'm just trying to help somebody right now, that doth so easily beset. That literally means to throw you off the trail, throw you off the mark. It literally means to cause you to miss the bullseye. It means literally to fail in your attempt to make the target. So if it besets you, it retards your progress. In the race, you don't need nothing to beset you. Have I got a witness? Now, here is the thing. If in this race, and I think you need to know, you're going to be beset at some point in time in your life, if you've got weights and the sin that's undealt with. It may not be when you think about it. It may not be when you think it's going to happen. Sometime at the most unusual times, that sin will show up and beset you. You could be almost at the finish line, and that sin will keep you from crossing over first because you've missed the opportunity. Because that's the problem with besetting. It steals from you the momentum and the drive that you have to fulfill your goal. So listen at this here. When Paul talks about, if it's Paul, and writers disagree because they can't say if it is or if it isn't him who wrote Hebrews. But the writer of Hebrews says, listen, which doth so easily beset you. If you have been beset, then what stands the reason is you have been preset. Preset. What do you mean preset, preacher? Well, when you come into Christ Jesus, Christ gives you a new start. He gives you a new position. He puts you in the race and gives you a goal. He customizes your course and he presets for you your course. Can I tell you, your course may not be my course. And my course may not be the next person's course, but all of our courses have been preset. Well, let me put it another way. When you talk about presetting, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means he's been preset. Preset. Look at what he says. All things are passed away. That's beset. Everything that used to throw him off the trail, now that he has gotten another chance, it is no longer the things that can do him what they used to do him. All things that beset him in the past are passed away. Well, here's what you need to know. If I've been preset and now I am beset in the race, is the race over for me? I got news for you. No, sir. No, ma'am. It's not. Well, what happens to me? Thirdly, he resets. Y'all not hearing me here? Let me go back to the same scripture. If any man be in Christ, listen. He is a new creature. That's preset. All things are passed away. That's beset. Behold, all things have become new. That's reset. If any man, 1 John 1:9, confess his sins, he is faithful and just to forgive him and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. That again is preset, beset, reset. All I'm trying to tell you on this Christian journey is there going to be times when you mess up. But when you mess up, don't act like the race is over with. Thank God that he can reset you and keep you from losing all the progress you made on your journey. Thank God for his ability to do for us, and that thing is called grace. Thank God for grace. When we miss it, anybody been reset in the house today? I'm talking about since you've been saved. Have you been reset? Have you ever missed the mark, fell down flat on your face, did something you know you shouldn't have done, and said, Lord, forgive me, clean me up, and he picked you up and turned you around and oh, Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. That's what grace does for us. It resets us. It doesn't give us a license to sin, but it calls our attention to the sin and say, straighten that mess up. I've got a better way for you. You're better than that. You're higher than that. You're richer than that. You're worthier than that. And then the last portion of that verse, it says that I think is so important, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, this is so important. I don't want you to miss it. And I'm closing. And let us run with patience. What do you mean run with patience? That doesn't make sense, run with patience. It almost seems like you want to say, let's run with persistence. Let's run with power. Let's run quickly. Let's run fastly. But the word says, and let us run with patience. Why does it say patience here? Because there is a new paradigm and dynamic here that's talking about this Christian race, unlike these normal races. In other words, the Christian race isn't about how fast and how quick